Praise the Lord. I'm a little nervous. Mother's Day is very hard for me. It's really hard. My mother died of breast cancer. Leaving 10 kids behind from the age from 2 to 17. So then my family from Minnesota came to Mexico to pick us up, to take us to Minnesota, St. Paul. My mother had like 11 sisters and brothers, and so we were all separated. My sisters and my brothers. And my mom's sister and her husband took me, and I was abused. And tortured. And I was with them until I was like 10 or 11 years old. And I ran away. And then from there, I ended up being in foster homes, group homes, lockups. And then from there, from the age of 16, I had my son. And I had my kids from that time. And I can't see. Oh. Where am I? I had 4 kids, and I made a lot of mistakes, but I didn't have a mother to teach me, to show me. I've learned from the wrong kinds of people. I had good foster homes and I had bad foster homes. And I can name 2 good ones. One was a Christian, and she used to go to her room with her husband and her 2 kids, and they used to go and pray. And I used to go to the door and I used to lean against it. And I used to ask them, please, can I come in? Can I pray with you? And they're like, my name is Rosa. So they would say, Rosa, we can't. You can't come in here. And I says, please, can I go in there and pray with you? They're like, no, I'm sorry. So I used to sit by the door and put my ear toward the door and just listen to them praying. And then when I heard them finish, I used to jump up and walk away from the door. And I used to ask her. Her name was Carol. She was really nice, really nice person. And I miss her, and I wish I could find her today, but I don't remember her last name. So I said, Carol, why can't I go into the room with you to pray with you? She said, Rosetta has to do something with the law. I'm like, okay. So I ended up in many foster homes. But there was another foster home that I went to, and they took me to church. And they were Pentecostals. They were speaking in tongues, and they were praying. And they couldn't explain to me. I used to ask questions like, what are they doing? What are they saying? But they wouldn't explain to me, and they wouldn't tell me anything. And then again, she said it had to do something with the law, that they couldn't get me mixed up with their church, with foster parents, or their belief. So I'm like, all right, that's fine. So then, like I said, there was many foster homes. So I ended up going to another foster home. There was many of them. But the third, the one that I went to, there was 8 foster kids at that time. And they were leaving to go to on vacation. And she asked me out of all the foster kids if I wanted to go with them to vacations with them. And I'm like, sure. So then that day, all the rest of the foster kids had went. I don't know where, but they went somewhere else, and they kept me. So the mother went into her room, turned on a movie, and had some popcorn and candy, things like that. And they said, Rosa, you want to come in here and join us? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I went in there, and I laid on their bed, and I was watching her caring and holding their kids and holding them and telling them they love, that they were loved. And she kept rubbing her daughter's arm back and forth and rubbing her head. She was laying on her mom, and she kept rubbing her head back and forth, and they looked so comfortable and so loved. And I was sitting there thinking, I want that too. I missed out of that. So then the movie was over, and she said, Rosa, it's time for you to go to bed because we have to leave early in the morning to go on vacation. So I'm like, all right. So I went downstairs, and I threw myself to the floor, to my knees, and I was crying hard. I mean, really hard. I asked God, what did I do to deserve to not have a mom to die of breast cancer? And I was crying really hard. No, I didn't know at that time that she died of breast cancer. I was crying and saying, why did she die? Why did you take her? And I was crying so hard, and I was just talking. I said, God, I don't blame you, because I guess that's life and it happens. I said, I just wish you didn't take her when I was still small and little, when I still needed her. And I was crying so hard that the tears was coming down my face so bad that it was just nonstop tears. And I couldn't breathe, and I was just like, you know, and I was crying so hard. And I said, I don't know who you are, but I heard your name many different ways, Jesus, God. And I said, I love you. And there's got to be a reason for things like this. And I was crying really hard and just asking God, why can't I miss out of a mother rubbing my head and rubbing my arm and loving me? So that night, I laid down in my bed. And I know I didn't fall asleep because my mind was on, you know, missing my mom really bad. And then all of a sudden, I felt somebody in my room. And I was the only foster parent there. I mean, the only foster child there. And the rest of them were, and the family was upstairs, and they never go downstairs. And they were already going to bed. And I laid there, and I felt something. I felt the presence over me, somebody over me. I was kind of scared, and I kind of wasn't. And then they were just staring at me for a while. And then all of a sudden, I felt somebody rub my arm with a very gentle, gentle touch. Remember, I was in a lot of pain. I was crying so hard. And then I had a hand come over me and rub my head back and forth as if the mother did to her kids upstairs. And I was trying to open my eyes, and I couldn't open my eyes. I'm like, what is going on? And I'm still trying to open my eyes, and I couldn't open my eyes. And I tried so hard, and I couldn't. Then, by rubbing my head into my hair, I fell asleep. I woke up. I ran upstairs. I ran so fast that I fell on the stairs and skinned my knee with the carpet. And I looked. I'm like, I don't care. I had to get upstairs. I was like, what is going on? So I went and told my foster mom. And told her what happened. And she looked at me and she says, well, it was your mother. Well, I don't believe that. Because I don't believe anybody, or a mother, or a father, anybody could look down and see their child being hurt or tortured or any kind of way. I never believed it. I said, it had to be. In my mind, I kept saying it had to be either Jesus or the angels of God. So then, so I had my four kids, Like I said, I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't have anyone to teach me. I tried my best. And then I used to live on Simpson Street here in Madison. And then this guy came up to my apartment, knocked on the door. It was Brother Thomas. I let him in the first time. He came back again and again. I didn't open the door to him. I would tell my kids, shh, don't say nothing. But Brother Thomas told me that he even heard me say that to my kids. I was like, oh gosh. But eventually, I came to church. And because I hadn't gone through the pain and gone through what I've gone through, I was still dealing with things. I kept going in and out of church. But still at the same time, I was at home praising God and reading my Bible. I was holding on to a string, not to a rope, but a string. I didn't let go of it. I believe that God's going to heal me from child abuse, heal me from, to help me to forgive these people. And I hated them. And I know the word hate because I lived it for a long time. I really hated these people. I really did. And so then I started going to church. And as I was coming in and out, I used to talk to Sister Thomas. And the small talks that I used to sit with Sister Thomas had helped me a lot. Sister Grant, all these little talks that we had really had helped me. I don't know if they realized it, but it really helped me a lot. And it kept to my heart, and I always remember. And whatever they had said to me had helped me. And I kept it in my heart, and I kept thinking about that all the time. And I remember when I was praying one time, way in the back. I always like being in the back. Pastor Thomas came up to me one time, and he said, if you stop coming to church, if you give up, your kids will be lost. And I was struggling, and I was struggling so hard to forgive. I had so much hatred in my heart, not toward anybody else, but just to them. And he said, if you give up, your kids would fall, and their souls would be lost. So I kept going for my kids. And I kept going, even though it was hard, but I kept going and I kept going. I wasn't a perfect mother, but I was a praying mother. And I was down on that knees, maybe 4, 5, 6 times a day. And I would fast and I would pray and I would scream to God to help me, to heal me, teach me, show me. But at the same time, I didn't know that I was teaching my kids as I kept coming in and out of the church, showing them how to pray, read their Bible. Still struggling. I didn't know that I was teaching them as God was teaching his apostles. I didn't know that I was teaching them. And I kept going to school, going to church, even though I was going back and forth. And I kept asking God to help me to save my kids and help me. And I had nothing else to give to my kids but to give them to Jesus. I told them that's what we have and that's what I believed in. And God did heal me. He healed me to forgive these people. I have no hate, none whatsoever in my heart. I even pray for them. I pray for their whole family to be saved. God has healed me, and I believe God is real. I know he's real. No one can tell me. No different. And I received this little book in the mail years ago, years and years and years ago. There's scriptures in here, but you put a person's name in front of it and you pray for that each of that person. And I have all my kids here, and I prayed and I read this book over, scriptures over and over and over and over and over again. And I prayed and I prayed and it held on, and I didn't let go. I'm still here. My kids are serving God, my grandchildren. John 1:4. No, you can read.
I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. She's a rock star, right? She is awesome. My mother is truly a hero, a pillar in my life, and I appreciate her. Ooh, that was my mother. I'm emotional. Jesus. So my mother is a modest one. She, in her mind, really thinks she didn't teach us much. Like, she really thinks that, and I'm like, what? Serious? You gave us Jesus. Like, what? You taught us, like, life. But I could understand from our past. I wouldn't think I taught us anything either. So, but my mother, first, I'm so grateful. Pastor Roy, thank you for allowing us to do this. This is a healing process for my mother. I can say that. She's not in here. But this is major, and for us in our relationship, and I just thank you for allowing us to do this. And my husband, he had to work with both of us today on this right here. Thank you, Jesus, for making him patient. But my mom really thinks she didn't teach us anything. It's so funny, but my mother taught us a lot, actually. Because when we started to come to church, I mean, it was through, like, some real serious trials in her life. Like, it was some major ups and downs. She said it. She had kids at 16 years old. That's rough. She had four by the time she was 21, 22. So that's major. And when we started to come to church, I remember when my mom got the Holy Ghost. I remember the old fellowship hall. I remember, I think it was Jane. I think you prayed with her. And I remember, like, all these women are praying over my mom, and finally she gets the Holy Ghost. It seemed like forever, and then she wouldn't stop praying in tongues. And we actually had to go home with my aunt drove the car because my mom still was speaking in tongues, and she could not turn it off. And we went home like this, and we're kids, and we're like, okay, lady. Love you. Are you okay? But she was just like in intense prayer, speaking in tongues. I mean, she couldn't turn it off. It was just, I believe God was doing some major work in her, looking back at it now. But like, that was a defining moment for her. Like, my mom still prays that way. Like, my mom is a praying woman. Like, all credit for who I am is to her, because she prays. Like, she didn't know how to teach a scripture. She had, like, a couple of scriptures around the house, because I think Brother Thomas told her, put scriptures on your house so your kids can see. And she did that, but she didn't, you know, understand it. She taught us something great anyways. But she prayed all the time. Like, it didn't matter. Like, my mom prayed. She prayed. She, if you asked her for prayer, she's praying with you. As a little kid, you're like, oh, my word, she's praying right now with people. And she hasn't changed from that. And we learned. I mean, I could say there's four of us, three of us are serving God. And I have to say, like, we know how to pray. Like, if we know how to do anything, we know how to pray. Like, we'll pray the house down, your home down, whatever you need, we'll pray. And because we learned that from her, because that's just what she did. She didn't have much else, but she had a praying life. And we learned so much from that, because it was in, like, the most difficult times. The most difficult times, my mom would just start worshiping. And you'd just be like, all right, Mom, I thought you were just crying. And then all of a sudden, she'd just start dancing. And she would just go at it, and we'd be like, all right, okay, she's good. She's happy now. God, thank you, Jesus. So it was just amazing. Like, we saw that. Like, we saw her pray. We saw her worship. Like, there was no limitations on her worship. Like, she didn't care who was around. She did it. Like, and it was amazing to see, like, because we have no limitations in our worship or in our prayer life. Like, my brother... I have a brother who's in prison right now. His name is Fernando. And as soon as he gave his life to God, and my mom, Sister Soto, said it, she would pray, her kids called it dangerous prayers, where you pray, like, I think she said it, like, she would pray that one of her daughters that walked away, that her limb or something would fall off, and that she would give her life to God and whatever. She didn't care what happened as long as she was serving God. And I was like, yeah, that was my mom. Like, man, we didn't have any limbs fall off. Thank you, Jesus. But it felt like it at times. But three out of four of our kids are serving God right now. And my brother Fernando, I mean, as soon as he gave his love to God, like, he just got into, like, I think all the prayer she prayed for him just, like, poured out at him once. And when it poured out, he has been, like, turning prisons upside down right now. My husband just prayed someone else through the Holy Ghost, like, two nights ago. Like, it's really amazing to see. Like, my mother, she's funny, but I worship like my mom. You probably don't know that. I'm loud like my mom. She's very loud. I think I'm louder than her now, but, you know, sometimes she's like, stop, I can't hear myself. And I was like, well, you taught me this way. It's hilarious. I took the passing of the baton and ran with it. That's what happened. But my mother, like, seriously, like, she's a worshiper, and she taught us to be a witness. My mom, in her heart, truly is an evangelist reaching people in Madison. Like, I'm serious. Growing up, like, people would come to our house, friends, cousins, school friends, mind you, we're like 10, 11, 12, and all our friends we brought home or would come to visit us. She's preaching. She's witnessing. She's preaching like fire and brimstone too to like 11-year-olds. Like, Jesus is coming soon. And we would be like, oh, okay. But they would come to church, and many of them got the Holy Ghost. Like, many of them, not all of them got baptized. Obviously, they weren't of age to decide for themselves. But like, cousins would come to our house, and whoever, gangsters, however big. And she's, you know, she's a shorter one. But she didn't care how big you were or how tough you look. She'll witness to you. Like, it was super amazing because, like, we have that. Like, me and my brothers have that. Like, it's not unnatural for us to witness to people. Many of you know that. But it's not unnatural for us. We can witness to people no matter where we're at. We'll be like, hey, Jesus loves you. I haven't said that Jesus is coming soon yet, but I'm working on that one. But she still does that. Like, she lives in an apartment building, and, like, I thought this was amazing. I'll share this. When my mom got home after church service this morning, because she has not had a mother and she knows how it feels on this day, she knows the people in her apartment building. She knows all of them. And she knows which one has lost their mothers. And she paid a visit to all of them just to make sure they were okay. She's witnessing to them on the side. They just don't know it. Like, she's going to end up bringing them to church because that's just who she is. And we've learned that. So, like, my mom wasn't able to, you know, like, teach us and sit us down and be like this, but she showed us as a lifestyle, like a true lifestyle. And I'm not knocking anybody because I'm teaching my kids scripture because she passed that on to us. So now, as every generation shall be, you pass on more and you pass on more and you educate yourself and you do more and more. And that was my mother. So we're a great witness. I'm like, we really don't have too much fear when it comes. We're nervous always, but we still We learned that from her. Like, we didn't learn that from reading the Bible. We just learned that from her lifestyle. And then we read the Bible and saw that it was in there. And we're like, oh, okay. This is what we're supposed to do. Well, this is what we should do. And so, like, my mother, like, you taught us a lot, Mom. Like, you gave us Jesus. Like, because if you didn't give us Jesus, I'm not sure if we would be here, to be all honest. And that's just the truth. I'm not sure. My brothers and I, we were crazy. And crazy for the world. Seriously, literally, we were crazy. And we were off on the deep end. I believe it's because the devil knew who we really were. And he was trying to destroy us because of who my mother was. Because of God coming into her room and touching her, whether it was angels or Jesus. There was a plan long ago. I believe that Jesus saw that plan on the cross. He saw my mother. He saw me. He saw my brothers. He saw my children. I believe that's the type of God we know. And I love my mother for that. And you taught us everything. You taught us life. You taught us hope. You taught us strength in Jesus. And that, by far, is the greatest thing I've ever had in my whole entire life. So, because this is who I am, if you could go to Genesis 21:15, please. And I will read it. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. That is how you pray for your child. For those of you who do not have a child serving God, you sit them down, you let them go, and you step aside, and you cry, and you pray. Don't intervene. And you let them go. And you know what? As I started thinking about this more and more, God just started working on me on this. Because I wonder, like, how many other things. I mean, you could just really use this in so many ways. I mean, how many things are we all dealing with? And if we just set it aside and pray and cry out to God and say, I'm done with it, how much he would do in it. Because that's really what it's about. My mother didn't teach me anything, but she taught me to pray. That's everything. If you don't have anything, all she had was Jesus. All she had was a prayer. All she had was prayer. All she knew how to do was pray. All she knew how to do was worship. Her children, 3 out of 4 of us have been to prison. I mean, seriously, all she had was Jesus. And all she did was pray. And all she did, and I could imagine seeing her children go through these moments, being so broken and down and just like, where are you, God? But she never backed down. She never backed down. Brother Thomas told me a story about my mother would always, in the tithe envelope, always had, please pray for my children. Any way she could, please pray for my children. Please pray for my children. She would pray for her children. That promise book, she won't let me read that. I'm curious about it because she's had it for like many years. But that helped her. Praying scripture over her children, that helped her. And I think about, like, what is in your life that if you just prayed the scripture and prayed and let it be, what God would be really willing to do for you. This morning, what did he say? I want you to want me? Oh my, what? Like, that's so, like, deep, but so, like, oh my goodness, do we want you, Lord? Like, I'm sorry, I want you. How am I not showing this? But, like, if we just want him like she did, he would break so much stuff in our life. He would break it. He really would. Because he's no respecter of person. If you believe, you align yourself with the will of God, you align yourself with the word of God, you should believe these things because that's what God has promised to do for us. My mother prayed for children out of hell. She prayed us out of hell. She prayed us out of hell. There's no other way to say it, but she prayed us out of hell. And I think about like how many children are out there right now that need to be prayed out of hell. Prayed out of hell. Like that's deep. Because God is able to do it. We are, my brother and I say my brother and I because he's the one that's here. We believe because of her. We believe that he is able to do above and beyond anything we could even comprehend because she prayed us out. She prayed us out with faithful prayers. With fervent prayers, she prayed us out of every situation. And she allowed God to do what he wanted to do in our lives. But she prayed us out eventually. I wonder what would happen if we just let God do what he needed to do in our lives. Because there's things I've been struggling with and I didn't realize what was going on until I realized I'm struggling with something. And the Lord was like, bam, this is what it is. And I was like, oh my word. I've been praying for so long to figure out what it is. And then when I was ready for it, he gave it to me. And I did not hesitate to pray out of it. I was like, I'm done. Okay, this is what it is. I'm lining myself up right now, and I'm going to pray myself out of this. I'm going to worship you because that's the way I win, and I'm done with it. And I just really think, like, as I was praying and preparing for this, like, God was just like, I'm here, and I'm ready, and I'm available to do these things for my people. Like, I want to do these things if they just trust me. If they're just able to say, like, what did Hagar do? She couldn't do anything with it anymore. She didn't know what to do. She couldn't feed her baby, like her son. He was a young boy. Like, she couldn't feed him anymore. And what did she do? Like, I couldn't imagine being a mother and like, all right, I'm going to put him far enough so I don't have to hear him starve to death. I'm going to put depression all the way over there. And I'm going to sit over here and cry because I don't want to hear it no more. I'm going to put anxiety all the way over there, and I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to cry, and I'm going to pray because I just don't know what to do with it anymore. I'm going to put worry over there. I'm going to put fear over there, and I'm going to come over here, and I'm just going to pray and cry, and I'm going to say I don't have anything else but Jesus. I don't have anything else but a prayer. I don't have anything else but the word of God. I don't have anything else. Because that was my mother. I don't have anything else to give them but Jesus. I don't have anything else to give them but a prayer. I don't have anything else but to put their names in this book of promise and pray their scriptures over their name, over them. I don't have anything else. And that's actually how it is. Like, that's actually like what he wants you to do. We can only carry it for so long. Hagar could only deal with her son crying because he's starving. My kids don't eat for 10 minutes and they're starving. And I'm like, oh my word, go over there already. But imagine hearing a son like crying out of starvation. Imagine how tired you are of like the depression. Imagine how tired you are of the fear. Think of how tired you are of the chains. You have to get tired of them. You have to get over it and say, I can't do this anymore. I can't handle you anymore. Because sometimes it is comfortable. Sometimes you can just get used to it. I'm pretty sure my mom just got used to us just doing whatever it is we were doing and got used to the pain in it sometimes. I'm pretty sure she did because human nature is like, well, God's not helping us, whatever. Okay, I'm just going to play the role now. But she never stopped. She never backed down. I wonder what would happen if you just didn't back down to it anymore. If you got up and just said, I'm done with fear. I'm done with you. He says, I am more than conquerors through Christ who gives me strength. It's already been conquered. You just got to walk out of it. Kayla, what do you say? Come out of it already? But that's the truth. Like, come on already. Like, come on already. It's already done. Just stop living there. Because my mom could have lived there and just accepted that we were just crazy. She could have. She could have just accepted that. I'm pretty sure with things that we did, she probably was just like, there's maybe no hope for them. But she didn't. And we learned that. We learned that. We don't even give up in things that were going on. You could see us fall many times, but we'll get back up because that's what she taught us. Things can come at us, we'll fall a few times, we'll get back up because that's what she taught us. She taught us don't give up. She taught us get up and keep going because that's the lifestyle she showed us. That's what she exampled for us. She didn't say, you just keep getting back up. I wish I would have mined that a few times, but she lived it. And we did it. Eventually, we followed it. That's the same that applies to us in the Word of God. If you just don't give up and you get tired of it and you set it aside, He will take it. He will say, I hear your cry because finally you're done with it. Finally, you're done entertaining the thoughts. Finally, you're done entertaining the emotions and the feelings and all the things that come with it, the oppression of it. Finally, you're done. Good, now I hear you because now I can move. That's what God does. Now He can move because He knows, like, you're going to change. You're going to start praying different because you're going to be so over it. And when I deliver you from it, you'll pray different. You'll move different. You'll speak different. And when those thoughts start to come, you'll say, no, I've been delivered of that. And they'll come, and they'll come again. And you'll continue to say, I was delivered from that. Just like my mother saw us going through all these things. She saw us to go. She was like, no, and not yet. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying because those are my kids. And I've read the Word of God. And if I don't back down, they'll come out of it. And we did. You can too. Out of prayer, you can too. If you prayed the prayer already, you can too. Just come out of it. Just be done with it. Separate yourself from it. Move from it. Because God is real. God is so able. He's so mighty. He can move mountains. He's a way maker. He's a chain breaker. He's a mountain mover. He is faithful. He will never leave you nor forsake you. We leave Him. He will never leave you. He will not give up on you. That's why you're still here, because He's still tugging at your heart. You're still struggling with it. That's all right. He hasn't forgot about you yet. He hasn't walked away from you yet. So that means there's still time. That means there's still opportunity. That means there's still a chance for you. Because if you weren't here, it would have already taken its place. But you're here. And you don't have to. CIP, we pray for you. Our prayers are over you. It's not just a ministry and you come here. We pray for you. We pray, we intercede. You don't have nobody praying for you, we pray for you. You've never had that, we got you. You don't have to go through it anymore. You don't have to go through the cycle, the revolving door is what they call it, the revolving door. You don't have to go through that because you're in a place where God is so strong and manifest, His word manifest, He breathes in us. You don't have to go through that. You just have to come to a place where I'm done with that. I'm going to leave it over there. Because I can't do that. It's breaking me. When it breaks you like it broke Hagar to watch her baby starve, and you separate yourself from it and say, God, I have nothing but you. I don't even know if you know me. I don't even know if you can hear me. But I don't have anything else but you. I wonder what He would do. Because He did it for me. He did it for my brothers. And Lord Jesus, you're good. If He did it for us, He could do it for you. Why? Because we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. It's already been done. We just have to come out of it. It's already been done. Our lifestyle, it was already done. We just had to come out of it because my mom already prayed it. We just had to come out of it. It was already done. We just had to walk out of it. I have a fourth brother, and I believe he's coming because guess what? Now we're praying with her. We got three and a mother. You can't go wrong with that. I mean, Lord Jesus, help that boy, because I know he's going to go through something. But you don't have to go through it. You don't have to deal with it anymore. I always thought, like, my mom was like, a little too believing it. Because it almost seemed cheesy sometimes, right? Like, oh, she's saying that scripture. Oh, she's praying that again. But then when I got hold of it, it's powerful. It's powerful. It has life. He has life. He breathes. He manifests. You read his word, it manifests. It's available. If you all would stand with me. And I am going to allow, not I'm going to allow, I don't have that type of authority, but I'm going to pass this mic on to Sister Brown. And I know she's going to pray it down because that's just what she does. She prays. She prays it down. If you never listened to her pray, you should listen to it and you should just jump in with her because she's moving mountains when she prays. And I believe she's going to pray some prayers. And if any of you are struggling with something, receive those prayers, move in those prayers, operate in those prayers, operate, submit to those prayers, walk in those prayers, walk up to the altar because come to the altar because that's where God is at, but he's everywhere. And you submit and walk into that. You don't know what God can do tonight. You don't have to go through it anymore. You don't have to live in that anymore because that is not God. That is not the God we serve. The God we serve is loving and kind and good. He is just and he is faithful. And he will never leave us. And he is always waiting for this. Do you want me is what he says. You want me? God is saying that to us. He's saying that to your need. He's saying that to your situation. Do you want me? Are you tired of that yet? My mother is a faithful woman, and I still go to her for prayers because she's been doing it a long time, and I trust her that she will not back down. And that is the same God we serve because he put that in her. He will not back down. He is faithful. You're struggling with fear? He's faithful. You're struggling with anxiety? He's faithful. He is good. He is good and he only has life to give, hope to give, strength to give. He is good. And you cannot get in his way when you're done. When you're done, you're out of his way. Because now you're open. Now you're vulnerable. Now you're ready. Now he can move. That is God. That is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That is the one true risen King. That is the Messiah, the Alpha and Omega. And that is the one true King. And that is the chief cornerstone. Faithful, faithful, faithful. That is the God we serve. And I accept that God because I need that power. I need that love to operate in me. Because if I don't, then I'm just a part of the world. And I'll be just like the word, bound. I'll be bound like everybody else. I don't want to be bound. I was already bound. I'll go through my trials. I'll receive that. But I know I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out because I believe. If you believe, you will come out. My mother believed we came out. My other brother, he's coming out in the name of Jesus. He's coming out in the name of Jesus. You will come out if you receive, if you believe, if you step out and say, I'm done. I'm done. God, I need you. I don't have anything else but you. That is the power of the cross. There is so much power in the cross. You need to get with it. There is healing in that blood. There is joy in that blood. There is deliverance in that blood. Get with the cross because that's where the power is at.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are the deliverer. Jesus, this is why you came. Oh, thank you, God. If you're sick and you're tired, if you're worn and you're weary, if you're tired of playing games with the world, I invite you to come to this altar. There is power. There is redemption. There is healing. And you heard it for yourself. God desires to set us free. I didn't know what they were going to talk about. I didn't know what they were going to say. But the Lord laid it upon my heart. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. If Jesus doesn't set you free, you will never be free. Sin will find you. It will keep you in a pit. You will suffer depression. You will suffer anxiety. You will suffer with pornography. You will suffer with drugs. You will suffer with addictions. You will never find peace. This is real. This is real. And this is your opportunity. This is what Jesus has for you. Oh, God. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you went to Calvary. I thank you, God, that you shed your blood. I thank you, Jesus, that we can pour out our hearts to you. That, God, it is your will. It is your desire. That, Jesus, you want to make us whole. You want the chains to fall off. Lord, this promise is from generation to generation. And, Jesus, you said in your word, Lord, when they asked you, what must we do? Your word says to repent, to turn away from your sin. And you said to be baptized in the precious name of Jesus. And we will receive the gift. We will receive the hope of your promise. Jesus, sweep over these people, God. Lord, let the unction, let the anointing, oh God, to flow in hearts and minds, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I just pray for families. I pray, God, for sons, for daughters, for backslidden children. I pray, God, that as your presence sweeps over this earth, Jesus, you said that if you be lifted up, that you would draw them. Jesus, we stand upon your word. We stand upon your promises, oh God. There's a better life.